Blog Talk Radio.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Searched all over.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great.
Nobody.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
No matter what you look.
favor in your sight. Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. Across the hottest desert, I'll travel.
Give him the glory. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we welcome you to the Word Wednesday call. Pastor Anthony and myself, we welcome you to the Word Wednesday call. And even as we're still awaiting Pastor Anthony to come with the Word, my God, somebody say there is a Word from the Lord. Amen. There is a Word from the Lord. But as we wait, I'm just led to pray, amen. I'm just led to pray and to just set the atmosphere for him. So when he gets here, he'll be able to just step right in, amen, amen, hallelujah. So let us pray, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your name. You are worthy, God. Hallelujah. We give you the glory, God. Hallelujah. We give you the honor. We praise you, O God. You alone are worthy, God. You are worthy of our praise, O God. And for your glory, O God, we will do anything, O God. There is no one greater, O God. Nobody greater than you, O God. We have searched all over, and yet we find nobody, God. Nobody greater, God. Hallelujah. It's an honor, O God, and a privilege to press into your presence, O God. And we press into your presence on today, God. Lord, we shed off the cares of this world. We shed off, O God, the cares of our day, O God. And we just come running to you, God, panting after you as a deer panteth after the waters, O God. Our souls are longing after you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you will just awaken us, O God, in the spirit realm, O God. Awaken the sleeping places, God, in the name of Jesus. Awaken the weary places, God. Awaken those places, O God, that have been, Father God, bruised and abused and left for dead, O God, and awaken those places, O God, that we have even allowed ourselves to put to slumber, O God. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will do a fresh stirring in our hearts, O God. In the name of Jesus, light the fire. Light your fire in us, afresh and anew, God. We want to be made over. We want to be reignited. We want to, Father God, burn with the fervor and zeal of the Holy Ghost, O God. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you, my God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We worship you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time of impartation. Oh, glory. Even as we're about to receive the word, as the man of God has come and as he's preparing to bring us the word, God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. You said, God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God, every word that is God-breathed, every word from the pneuma, my God, the pneuma, the breath of God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for breathing on us, oh God, on tonight, God. We ask, Father God, as Pastor Anthony imparts your word, God, into our hearts, that you will breathe on us tonight, God. Hallelujah. That you will blow away, Father God, the chaff, my God. That you will blow away, God, the muck and the mire, anything that is not like you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we cast out every hindering spirit, God. And we just thank you, and we magnify your name, and we say, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way on this Word Wednesday, God. Touch, my God, touch us afresh and anew, my God. Mama koshelele kepa, o koshelaba. Hey, Kate, speak to our hearts, God. Reignite, oh glory, the purpose, the vision that you have given us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, and we give you right now in advance, oh glory, even before the word comes, we praise you in advance, oh God, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and it's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for prayer tonight. We thank God for this Word Wednesday. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Word of God coming forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Without further ado, without further delay, let us go to the Word of Almighty God, looking at Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Book of Luke. I believe it's chapter number 12. Let me just find Luke chapter number 12. Thank you, Jesus. You can begin by opening your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Thank you, Father. That is not the chapter I'm going to I'm almost there. To God be the glory.
Amen. Yes.
I said 12, and it's actually 19. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. Luke 19, verse number 1. And there are some other scriptures we're going to go to, but we're going to begin looking at the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as he receives Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, we're going to see the account of how Jesus met Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus met Jesus. I thank God for salvation. Hallelujah. I thank God for salvation. God bless your word tonight. Luke 19:1 says this, people of God, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans or tax collectors, and he was rich. He was a wealthy man, and he sought to see Jesus. Don't miss that. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little of stature. Zacchaeus was a short man, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, glory be to God, and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest at a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything that any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, This day has salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight I want to talk from this thought and this topic. I can see clearly now. Amen. I can see clearly now. And even as I said it, when he gave me the title earlier in the week, I thought about that song. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. Yes. Very popular song, pop song, back in the day. Still popular in today's culture. We can see clearly now if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But we had to get there. Yeah. I was lost, Pastor. Not just lost, but I was losing that life. Lost and losing. But Jesus found me. And now I thank God I can see clearly. I was at work today, and I use a lot of references because I like to be relevant, and I like things when they hit me. And there's a dog walker out in my area where I work. Her name is Pat, an older lady, and she's now walking with a cane, but I've known, speaking to her high and by for over 20 years, I believe. And she said to me today about the election in Hoboken, who was the mayor and who won the different elections. And she said, you know, Tony, I'm a part-time medium. Is what she said. People of God, she told me she was a part-time medium and a seer. Yeah. Yeah, Pastor. A psychic. A nice, but a part-time medium, it got me. It threw me back a little bit because I'm like, either you are or you're not, but I knew what she was saying. because years back, she told me she was a part-time stand-up comedian. So maybe she's on search or something, I don't know. But even as I'm talking about, I can see clearly now, there are so many people who think they can see. What they're seeing, I don't know. But only through the eyes of Jesus Christ, you and I can see clearly the things that we need to discern and see in our life. Zacchaeus, let's get to the text. Zacchaeus, I believe before this transaction took place, before the actual occurrence of Jesus seeing him up in a tree, Jesus saying, come down in a hurry, Jesus knowing that there was not going to be a coincidence with him coming to that spot and telling Zacchaeus to come down. The multitude is around Jesus. People knew who Jesus was. Zacchaeus at this point did not see clearly in the natural or in the supernatural. He just wanted to get a view because he was short in stature. He just wanted to see what all the fuss was about, what all the mayhem was about. Who is this Jesus? But Jesus was on assignment to save this man who was lost. He was a tax collector, and in that day, many of the tax collectors were corrupt. That's all I've been hearing during this political race and election day, how corruption, it doesn't matter what state, what district, what level of government, everyone is talking about corruption in our political system. Everyone is talking about it. I was told by a coworker today how a young man practicing Hinduism, he wears his turban, he wears his garbs, he's unashamed about his religion, and now he's the mayor of Hoboken, New Jersey. As I said yesterday, the world is changing, people of God, and we need to allow God to give us the sight, the spiritual sight that we need to see in the days in which we are living. We're going to go to some more scriptures, but as Zacchaeus got a heightened view of Jesus being up in a tree because he was a short man, he could not see over the crowd. And sometimes when a preacher preached to us, we get a better view of Jesus. Amen, somebody. When people pray for you, you get even a heightened, and he climbed up in a tree. We get a better view of Jesus when people pray for us. When sometimes we get prophecy to or prophecy over us, we get a better view of what Jesus wants to do in and through our lives. And my wife and I, this is just something that God has given us. We love pushing people into their purpose. We love motivating and inspiring people and encouraging people in the things of God. Because people have pushed me. Yeah. Amen, somebody. I'll never forget in high school, in college, even on my jobs that I've had over my lifetime, there's always been someone in my workplace or in school or in my neighborhood, someone pushing me. When people push us, I believe it's God ordained. I've had teachers, I've had coaches, I've had mentors, I've always had someone speaking into my life. And this is how we get a better view of Jesus. When we can see clearly who he is, hallelujah, we are now able to do what Zacchaeus has done. We can get saved, stay saved, and help others get saved. Sometimes we wonder what God's purpose is for our lives. What does God expect from us? What is my assignment? What is my calling? What is my ministry? Can I just help you and help me tonight? We have to get people saved. Verse 10 said, the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save those who are lost. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how much education they have, how much influence they have. If they don't know Jesus, they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. because Judgment Day is coming, and none of us can escape it. We're not exempt from it. So we have to pray. We have to pray for those who are lost, those who are without our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, because now, Zacchaeus, you have a changed heart. The people, Pastor, it said the people murmured. It said they complained. They were not excited that Jesus was about to give grace to Zacchaeus. Yes, he was a tax collector. Yes, he robbed and stole from people. Yes, he did wrong. But apparently, he wanted to change. Yes. We preached that thing on Sunday. It's never too late to change. Zacchaeus now can see clearly his ways, which were wrong. He said, if I wrong anybody, I'm going to pay them back. And if I lied, if I corrupted anyone, if I deceived anyone, I'm going to give them back what I took with interest. My God. He said, fourfold, I'm going to give it back because I have a remorseful heart right now of doing people wrong. I feel God right there. We got to, you know, sometimes when we've been through divorce or we've been through situations in our lives where, yes, some people have wronged us, but guess what? We have wronged some people. Some of us have. If the truth was to be told, maybe it's not for everyone I'm talking to tonight, but I know for me, I have not always been the person I am today. Amen, somebody. I thank God for grace. I thank God for a second chance. I thank God as he opened my eyes and my understanding of my ways, my wicked ways. He gave me opportunity to do something about it. Glory be to God. You and I can see clearly now, but when our children are stuck, when our spouses are stuck, when those who we love are stuck, yes, they have natural sight, but they do not have spiritual sight. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. Pastor Rebecca preached this in Newark, I think a couple of months ago. Isaiah chapter number 6, and then we're going to 2 Kings chapter number 6. But we're going to come back to this story of Zacchaeus, how God gave him a second chance, and how Zacchaeus took advantage of that. But go to Isaiah chapter number 6, right before the psalm. My wife preached this at a conference. I don't know if it was a conference, but she preached this thing, and it stuck with me. Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm trying to find it myself. Right before the Psalms, right before Job, I believe. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Father. Pastor, I need your help. Amen. Here we go. Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Oh, here it is, yes. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What did his train fill? The temple. We have to put an emphasis on everyone we know about the church of the living God. God is not done with his church. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Yes, we are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We are the church. We are the temple of the living God. But now speaking about the universal and the corporate church, just like they went up to Jerusalem to worship, just like in the first century church, they went house to house. Just because we have modern technology and we can sit on our laptops, God wants us to come together in fellowship. He wants the church to be strong. Come to the church, his train can still fill the temple of the church. And as Uzziah died, and Pastor, you preached this thing. You said sometimes we have people who represent Uzziah in our lives, those in the way of us seeing God clearly, those in the way who sit on the thrones of our hearts and in our minds instead of Jesus, those who get in the way of God in our relationship with God. And soon as Uzziah died, Isaiah said, then I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And it talks about seraphims, the angels, and cherubims. And then verse 4 says this, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And this is why we need to see clearly. Listen to Isaiah's statement. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, he see clearly, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid them upon my mouth and said, lo, I have touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, my God, and your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. If we want to do ministry, if we want to be a blessing to other people, if we want God to send us and to use us, we need to see how Isaiah got ready to be used of God. First, he said, I need to see clearly, God, who you are, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I've been around a people that are sinful and unclean. It doesn't matter how good we think we are. Jesus and God has not taken us up out of this world. We have to dwell in this world. We have to impact this world in which you and I live in. He said, God, don't take them out of the world, but allow them to remain in the world and impact the world. So we are supposed to impact this world in which we're living in. But to do that, we need to be able to see clearly. He said, first, God, I'm a sinner, and I need you to do something about my sinful nature. And the Bible says the angel took coals off of the altar, touched his lips, and said, now you're no longer undone, you're no longer unworthy. I have touched you with the heat of God. And although you're a sinful man of a sinful nature, the anointing has touched your life. God has touched you. The Holy One of Israel have touched your lips. Now you can go in his power. You can go in his might. Now you can see King Jesus high and lifted up. And Isaiah said, I will go, send me. God is looking for willing soldiers. God is looking for those who will say, Lord, send me. My family needs me. My community needs me. God, I'm willing and I'm able to be a blessing to others. So people, when I'm talking about tonight, I can see clearly. Isaiah saw his sin, saw that he fell short of the glory of God. Zacchaeus saw that he was wrong and that he needed a savior. He didn't want to be that tax collector. He no longer wanted to be that sinner. And Zacchaeus and Isaiah said, God, I need you to see clearly. So as we came to Bible study tonight, as we go down, even as we hear this lesson tonight, how we can see clearly through the eyes of God, we need God like our optometrist to always check our vision. Because every now and again, it gets blurry. Every now and again, our focus gets cloudy. Can I get an amen somewhere? Every now and again, I lose my sight and I lose my way. And God has to bring me back and say, Anthony, now can you see clearly? My wife and I had a situation this week. I don't have to go into great detail, but we had someone that kind of showed some conflict and was confrontational with my wife and I this week. And God said, don't look at the person. Look at the spirit behind the person. Don't let this person get under your skin. Don't let this person get to you. Get back with your spiritual sight and your spiritual understanding. Don't look in the natural. The word says we fight not against flesh and blood. Don't look at the natural person trying to get you and your wife upset. Look at the spirit behind the person. And I said, now, God, I can see clearly. I begin to praise God because he showed me. This fight is not yours. It belongs to me. They're coming against you, but they're really coming against me. So hold your peace and let me fight this battle. I'm like, Lord, well, do we address the issue? He said, absolutely. But pray your mother's favorite psalm, Psalm 35. Fight against those that fight against me. Contend with those that contend against me. Take up shield and buckler. That was my mother's favorite psalm, Psalm number 35. She ain't try to fight nobody. She didn't have to curse nobody out. She just said, God, you said vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I always wondered why my mama would quote Psalm 34 all the time. Fight against those that fight against me. Contend with those that contend against me. I'm not going to go to that scripture tonight, but write it in your notes. Go and read all of Psalm 35. I promise you, it will bless you. Because it doesn't matter how good we are as people, for some reason, there is someone in some season in our lives that's going to come against us for no reason at all. You're trying to love people. You're trying to pray for people. You're trying to be the bigger person, and they still are going to come against you. So you got to understand this Christian walk. We got to love everybody, yes. We have to love everybody, yes. But we can't be naive. We cannot be gullible in this world in which we're living in. This world will swallow you up. My wife always quote Mother Mae Thomas, only the strong survive. We cannot let our guard down. Now go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. We're talking about spiritual sight and how we can see clearly now. Case where Elisha, we talked about him, how he, there was death in a pot. Yeah, we spoke about that yesterday. How he added flour to the poison stew. And then the stew became harmless. We preached about Elisha on Sunday. Amen, somebody. Where he told this woman whose son he raised from the dead. He prophesied to this woman that God is going to give you a son in your old age. And then he promised this woman, leave your property for 7 years. And God's going to restore all of it as you come back to get your property. And we see the miracle taking place, where the king restored everything that this woman had that she thought she lost. Now we're looking at Elisha and his servant, who was given insight to the army of Israel about their enemy and their strategies. And the king of Syria says, we have a spy among us, and somebody is telling our enemy our every move. But Elisha has spiritual sight. Elisha can see clearly. Oh, I didn't get to the verse yet. I'm sorry. Verse number 15. Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15, could see the things of God, so much so that he gave the king of Israel every strategy of the enemy of Syria, every move of the enemy. And they stayed one and two steps ahead of the enemy. And now the king of Syria is sending chariots and horses, spears and swords and weapons to get Elisha and his servant to take them captive or to kill them. They're outnumbered. They're outmanned. And yet watch Elisha's response as we're talking about seeing clearly tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early in the morning and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us. My God, I feel like running around my own house. For they that be with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. My God. In the natural, they were outnumbered and outmanned. But in the spiritual, Elisha had a bigger army around him. He had angels and chariots of fire. My God. And when God opened his servant's eyes, then he saw, my God, there are more with us than with them. Let me pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to get back to the lesson. But God, continue to open up our spiritual eyes. It doesn't matter what battle we are facing. Maybe it's a battle against our health. Maybe it's a battle against our family and our marriages. Maybe it's a battle against our churches and our ministry. But God, please open up our spiritual eyes that we can see that there are always more with us than the one that is against the that is with the enemy. So God, don't let us get in the carnal. Don't let us get in the natural. Don't let us stay, hallelujah, there. But God, open up our spiritual understanding. Open up our spiritual eyes. Give us godly insight and intuition that we can see always the angels that are always present with us, the angelic hosts always watching over our automobiles and our cars, the angelic hosts that watch over our property when we're gone, the angelic hosts that's watching over our children as they go to and fro, the host of angels that continue to watch over us as we live this life. So God, thank you. As Elisha prayed, I pray for these listening tonight that no matter what battle they're facing, they will see through their spiritual eyes more than their natural eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, the Lord wants to equip you so that you can see clearly. We see through the life of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19. He had to climb up in a tree to get a better view of Jesus. We see in the life of the prophet Isaiah, he had to get a better view of God, even as King Uzziah, who was a mighty man, so much so that the people was calling him a god. It said when he died, now Uzziah died. King, hallelujah, Jesus and God is now lifted up on the throne, high and lifted up. And Isaiah said, I can see him clearly now. And now we see the prophet Elisha, the protege, hallelujah, and the student of Elijah, having a servant, a man of God, serving him and saying, God, we're outnumbered, we're outmanned. And Elisha said, God, open up his spiritual eyes that he can see clearly. And the Bible says God opened the young man's eyes and he saw that it was more with them than against them. So it doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what battle you're facing. Please don't look in the natural, but look in the supernatural. People may come against you in the workplace. People may come against you in the church. People may come against you even sometimes within your family. Please don't look in the natural, but look in the supernatural. Amen, somebody. Our final scripture tonight is coming from Matthew chapter number 8. Verse number 22, Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 22, Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 22. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, do I have enough time? Yes, I do. Hold your place in Mark chapter number 8. We're going to end there. Mark. Mark chapter 8, 22. We're going to end there. Mark 8, 22. But right now, God is in my notes, and God is telling me to turn here real quickly. Place in Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. But go to John very quickly, John 3. I didn't really want to talk about it because I don't have the time that I need. But God said, just touch it, and maybe you can pick it up next week. Looking at the life of Nicodemus, very quickly, Nicodemus, John chapter number 3, verse number 1. And then we're going to go very quickly to Mark 8, 22 and close out. But John chapter 3, verse number 1, remember what we're talking about tonight. I can see clearly now. John 3, verse 1 says this, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, I need more time with this. But we're not going to get into it, but I just want to pick up that verse number 3. He says, you must be born again to see clearly. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Let me keep reading. We might pick this up again next week because there's some points I'm going to bring out of this. Verse number 4 says this. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again. We're going to stop there. Again, I'll pick it up maybe next week, maybe not. But let's go through these first four verses. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, an educated man, a powerful man, a ruler in the synagogue, comes to Jesus by night. He is a Pharisee. He is a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus secretly, privately at night, saying, I know you doing these miracles, only God can be with you. Jesus tells him, except you get born again, you're not going to be able to see certain things. He said, can I re-enter my mother's womb? That's the only way I can be born again. And Pastor, when I looked at that text earlier, I said, for some of us, maybe we're saying it would be good to go back and maybe change some things in our lives. I believe many of us, if we had the opportunity to go back, maybe we would. We probably keep all the good stuff that happened in our lives and get rid of all the bad things that have happened in our lives. But during our life and our lifespan, if you're a believer tonight, my God, There are events, there are things, there are situations that happened in my life up until age 30 that led me to the place, that led me into the church, that led me to Jesus. Oh, my God. There are no coincidences when you are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and born again. Maybe I don't know how you got saved, when you got saved. You saw yourself as a good person, a bad person. It really doesn't matter. If you have salvation, you're in a good place. And he's telling Nicodemus, for you to get salvation, you must be born again. You can't go back in the natural. You cannot go back in your mother's womb. I don't care if you want to turn back the hands of time. It's not possible. On the topic tonight of seeing clearly, that you and I must be born again to see clearly. We can't have a form of godliness. We cannot pretend. We cannot make believe. We have to pray and say, God, if I'm not born again, if I haven't taken this thing seriously, if I've just been going through the motions, God, help me to know you. Help me to see you. Help me to understand you. And help me to build a relationship with you. And people of God, God will do it. He will allow you to see him clearly. Oh, there's so many scriptures I want to go to tonight. Remember Moses said, show me your glory. We're talking about seeing tonight. He says, show me where I can see it, your glory. And what was God's response to Moses? You can't handle it. If you see me, you would just drop dead. You cannot handle it. But I'm going to hide you in a cliff, and I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to reveal my glory to you, Moses. But I can't do it on your terms, because I know you want to see my glory, but that's not possible. See, because I'm too much for any man to see. Amen. So when I'm talking about seeing clearly tonight, I'm more talking about the things we need to see clearly on. Now let's go to Mark chapter 8 and close out. Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. I pray this is blessing somebody tonight, because God wants you to see clearly, and don't let the devil mess up your vision. We got to stop letting the devil mess up and, you know, get in the way of our eyesight and get in the way of our focus. Mark chapter 8, 22 says this. And he come to Bethesda, and they bring to him a blind man who sought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him, he asked him if he saw aught. and he looked up, and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands on him again and opened his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I can see clearly now. This man simply needed another touch from God. Sometimes you and I, even as I pray tonight, as we hang up, ask God for another touch. Ask God to touch your eyes and your mind and your thinking and your understanding and your heart, your ears and your hands and your feet. Ask God to touch you again. This blind man they brought to Jesus, he was totally blind, could not see at all. Jesus led him away out of the town, eyes, and he saw halfway. Jesus asked him, can you see clearly? Can you see clearly now? He said, no, I see men walking around looking like trees. And he touched him again. And he said, now what do you see? He said, I can see clearly now. Let us pray. Father, touch your people one more time tonight. I pray as we go down from this place, but never from your presence, that you would allow us to see clearly. You would allow us to see our purpose, what you have ordained for us to do. You will allow us to see beyond our failures and our mistakes. Allow us to look beyond our errors, look beyond our sin, look beyond what we do wrong and what we've done wrong, and help us to see clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, I love you. Please sow into the ministry. Pastor Rebecca and I, the New Creation Christian Ministry family, we thank God for you tonight. Go in peace, serve God, love you. Good night, everyone. God bless.